Thanks for listening to Schlereth and Evans On Demand. Did you know you can listen to us on Alexa? Enable our skill today, then say, Alexa, play 104.3 The Fan.
Live from Training Camp 2019, Road to Redemption, presented by Mountain High Appliance. Here's Schlereth and Evans.
Yeah, this is Just Me Friday. Give you a chance to get stuff off your chest, heading off into the weekend. Hit us up on the Ramoslaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. And is it just me, or has it been kind of a rough offseason listening to the national pundits when talking about the Broncos, Mark, be really, really down, or if not down, almost just like treating the Broncos like they're just sort of irrelevant. Like, yeah, that's right, the Broncos. I forgot about the Broncos. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. 6-10, 5-11, that kind of thing. It's been tough to hear, especially since we hear close to the situation, see potential for this team.
Right.
That hasn't maybe been here the last, you know, 2+ years. So it was good to hear Tony Romo, really the only national pundit I've heard, come out and not only speak positively about the Broncos, but in a way that nobody has talked about the Broncos this offseason. Here's Romo.
I'm not into predicting anything, okay? That's first off. So I'm going to say I think you're right. The team that sticks out to me, you know, in the AFC, I think the Denver Broncos have a chance to really shock some people.
Wow. I'm interested. Explain.
Well, they're in a very tough division, so it's going to be difficult for anybody to run off and go 14-2, 13-3, other than the Chiefs, because their talent level is just so high. So when you're in that division, every game is going to be difficult. But that reminds me of the old, like almost an old NFC East. If somebody got in, it's like they could win the Super Bowl because every game they played was tough back in the 80s and 90s. Well, this division has 3 or 4 outstanding teams. 3 of them for sure. Oakland, we'll see how that plays out. But you know the Chargers are really good. You know the Chiefs are really good. And I think that Vic Fangio is as good a defensive coordinator and has, you know, I think he'll show how great of a head coach he is. And you give him Von Miller, and now they went and got the one quarterback I think a lot of teams should have gotten this offseason in Joe Flacco. That right there shows me this team is going to be able – they have leadership on offense. They have a great defensive coordinator, a great defensive player. I think they're going to surprise – if they keep Flacco upright and they can block for him, this is going to be a tough team, especially if you have to go to Denver.
Aside from him calling him Flacco, what do you think of that analysis?
Reminds me of Flock of Seagulls, right?
And I ran.
Yeah, no, I mean, listen. That's what I thought about Flacco. I could see the guy's hair and everything. He had huge hair. Flacco does have great hair, but not Flock of Seagulls' hair. Flock of Seagulls' hair was
It
was big, teased up. Oh, it was
swooped to the side there.
Right. It was like a big old, you know how the wings on the planes now, the end of the wing kind of flips up at the end of the wing? Had the flip-up end of the wing plane hairdo going on. That's probably what they styled it after. That's why they invented that. Anyhow, here it is, right here. Flacco. Flacco Seagulls. If they can keep Flacco Seagulls upright, then they got a chance, because that guy can play. It's wispy. Flacco Seagulls. Yeah, wispy, kind of like your hair.
Yeah, well,
wispy. You probably had a big flock of seagulls hairdo back in the day.
I could pull that off.
You could.
I could pull it off.
Not anymore.
No. No. I don't think the current flock of seagulls guys could pull off the flock of seagulls look anymore.
Probably not. Here's the thing that I like about the analysis. He's right about the fact that this team could surprise a few people. I think he's also correct in that this division is exceptionally difficult. And what he is saying is, like those NFC East days, and I played in those days in the early 90s when they won Super Bowls, you know, the NFC East, a different NFC East team won a Super Bowl in 90, in 91, in 92, in 93.
Yeah, Washington, Dallas, just going back and forth, alternating.
And the Giants.
And the Giants, yeah.
So, I mean, I played back in those days in that NFC East, and what he's saying is, hey, man, if you can find yourself in the wild card hunt? Because you're not going to – I mean, you're not probably with the talent that they've amassed in Kansas City. You're probably not going to win the division. But he's saying you get in at 9-7. Like, you fight your way in. You're battle-tested, man. You're scarred. And anything can happen at that point. So that's what Tony Romo is saying. And frankly, I agree with him. Now, can you get there? Can you get to 9-7? Can you have a chance to be a wild card team? Can you get 10 wins? You know, that a lot of things have to happen, but that's what you're looking at.
When he said, hey, they got the quarterback that I thought more teams should have been interested in, mm-hmm. Joe Flacco, does that give you any kind of pause that, like, I always make it a point, hey, free agency is dangerous because the thing about free agency is you're going hard and overpaying for some guy that their team that knows him better than anybody else decided right. We can move on with this guy. Well, the same thing goes. Flacco is out there, and in a league that's starved for quarterback play, there was very little of a market of teams lining up to go after Joe Flacco.
Well, here's the point, though. They traded for Joe Flacco. He wasn't a free agent,
so they didn't have
to overpay. Normally, for free agency, you have to overpay. You got Joe Flacco at a bargain price, and the issue is...
So why weren't more teams in on those trade talks?
Well, because teams don't want to give up their assets, and two...
For a quarterback?
Teams don't want to give up the assets for a quarterback that has had 2 years of injury issues. He was injured the year, last year and the year before, as Cecil came on and said, he played with a back injury and he played inefficient football. He didn't play very well. And so that's the deterrent. You know, that's what ended up happening with Joe Flacco. So, again, this is we talk about road to redemption, Broncos training camp road to redemption. It's a huge road to redemption kind of issue for Joe Flacco this year. I have to prove that I'm still, I'm still an upper echelon quarterback.
Mark said something earlier about Flacco that has some people upset.
Uh-oh.
And
Mark who?
That'd be you. Do you know that stuff?
Now I'm going through my head.
Flacco in Spanish means skinny.
Flacco does?
Yeah. I don't know. That's what people said on the text line, and I always trust the people on the text line because they're always right.
That's where I get all my my news comes from, Twitter and the text line. That's how I know stuff.
That's right. All right, so you don't remember what you said?
No.
Of course you didn't. Well, I'll remind you coming up next.
This is Steve.
Hi.
Steve loves manila folders.
It's true.
That's why he started a company supplying manila folders to large corporations.
In both white and eggshell.
What Steve doesn't love is spending time paying suppliers and browsing for loans. Luckily, First Bank offers time-saving treasury management tools and business loans, so you can spend more time with your passion, even if it's manila folders.
In both white and eggshell.
Okay, Steve. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC. Go to efirstbank.com/business for more details.
Slowly but surely, I think we're winning over Millennial Ben.
Mm-hmm.
We're turning him around to the greatness of the 80s.
I love the 80s, man. I'm stuck in it. I'm just stuck in the 80s. And I don't apologize for it.
Oh, the 80s are all over the place. The 80s are coming back all over the place.
Yeah.
80s
yeah.
are back in.
I love this tune, too, by the way. Let me the girl like you. I mean, how can you not like this song?
I know. What's wrong with people?
I don't know. All right. Now I'm intrigued because apparently I said something that got everybody's panties in a wad.
You don't remember the things that you said? And this wasn't like something you said last week,
Mike,
yesterday.
This
is something you said like last hour.
Dude, I'm in my kitchen. I walk out to my garage, and I'm standing in the garage, and all I do is go, oh, it's my garage. All right, I'm going back into the kitchen.
Why am I here?
Right, I don't remember why I walked out here.
I look around
the garage and go, yeah, it's my garage.
Is it just me, or when that happens to you, do you ever, stop at when that's happening, you're like, what's wrong with me?
No.
Right, do you ever, say, what is so wrong with me that I came out here to get something, and now I can't remember what it is?
No,
what
because,
goes through your mind when that happens?
Okay, so here's the, like, I'm going to give you some just life advice.
Oh, all
this
right.
This is just great life
Everybody
advice.
Gather around.
So I think it concerns my wife because she's like, you are so flighty. And then he gets concerned, you know, because there's so much propaganda out there about, oh, CTE, and you're going to freak out and kill your family, you know. That's not going to happen. So maybe that's a bad analogy.
What about your co-host?
Yeah, my co-host, my producer, the board op. You know, you never know what's going to happen. But anyhow, the point being...
Suddenly I'm frightened.
Right. The point being for me is, like, life's an adventure. I'm on my garage and I'm like, yes, this is my garage. I've worked hard for it. Look at the cars in the garage. All right, I'm going into the kitchen. Maybe there's something to eat. Who knows what's going to happen? This is great. Like, that's how I walk around life all the time.
You're so simple.
I'm a simple man. Yeah,
but that's good.
Yeah.
We probably all use more simple in our
right.
life. You know? Why am I in the garage? Nice cars.
I don't know. I'm
hungry.
I came in here for something. I can't remember what it was, so I might as well just enjoy the scenery. All right. I need to clean up.
All right. I'm going back in the kitchen.
Yeah, anyhow. What was it that I said about Flacco?
We're talking. I had Raiders on my mind yesterday.
Yes,
you know, watching Hard Knocks, watching
right.
them play last night,
right?
Taking apart that Vance Joseph defense there in Arizona.
It's mind-boggling.
And so we're talking about the Raiders and sort of comparing the two teams as we look ahead to opening night. And you said, "Yeah, Derek Carr's a better quarterback than Joe Flacco," which got a lot of folks mad.
Really?
On the RamosLaw.com text line.
Like,
what do you mean? Show me all of Derek Carr's playoff wins, will you, Stink? What's he ever done?
Plus,
it looks like he wears mascara.
Okay, so let me ask you this.
It does.
So all he does look like he wears mascara. Like his head is eyeliner tinted. Eyeliner? Do you use eyeliner? Maybelline?
Or he really admires Jack Sparrow.
Oh, Cap'n Jack.
You did say it.
I did. I'll stand by it. So here's the deal. And I say a lot of things. There's a lot of things that, you know, that flow out of my mouth. We were comparing roster for roster, and I said defensively we're a lot stronger, but offensively I'd probably give the nod to the Raiders. Derek Carr a couple of years ago, 2 years ago, played at, you know, a MVP level. You know, last year in a new offense, the first time he was in that offense without much talent around him. I'm just telling you that had I had an opportunity, if both quarterbacks were offered to me, Derek Carr in what, his fifth or sixth year versus Joe Flacco and going into year 12, Joe Flacco having some injuries and having some real off years lately. Yeah, I understand that he was a Super Bowl MVP back in what, 2012. That's more seasons ago than Derek Carr's been in the league. But I understand that. But if you're telling me I had the choice between the two right now to lead my franchise for the next however many years, you think you wouldn't take Derek Carr? Of course you would. The same people that are mad about me saying that are the same people that were upset about them signing Joe Flacco and are the same people that wanted Paxton Lynch to be our starting quarterback. So I'm not giving a lot of merit to the skim milk or text line.
You know, say what you will about Derek Carr. He has put up stats. Now, he hasn't done it in the playoffs, but he has put up stats that I would love, love, love to have from a quarterback here not named Peyton Manning. In 5 years, first of all, durable. He's only missed two games in 5 years. Career completion percentage of 63. He's thrown 122 touchdown passes to only 54 picks. I mean, he's had years where he's gone 32 touchdowns to 13 picks, 28 touchdowns to 6 picks, 22 and 13. Even last year, Joe Flacco,
a horrible
by the way,
year,
Joe Flacco's 19 never, and 10.
Right, Joe Flacco's never thrown over, what, 27 touchdowns in a year?
Yeah, you're in the ballpark.
Yeah, that was 2014. Flacco. That's F-L-A-K-K-O. Flacco.
So you're going to do this just so you can hear Flock of Seagulls. Joe has never thrown more than 27 touchdown passes in a season.
It's amazing. Even though I go at the garage, I can't recall why I went out there. I can give you the 27 touchdowns.
That was a
2014.
That was a good pull.
Yeah, thank you. So yeah, I mean, like, I don't know why you would be angry at that. I'm not saying that Derek Carr is, you know, is like head and shoulders above, but he's doing that, by the way, he's doing that for the Raiders. Guys, and if you've watched the Raiders over the course of Derek Carr's career, come on now. Come on. They're the Raiders, right? How many different coaches has he played for? How many different systems has he been in? Come on. Can you give? I know it's the Raiders, and you hate the Raiders, and I'm with you. I hate them, too.
Raiders!
Can you not give him some credit? I mean, there's the black hole is, like, the black hole has lost its meaning. The black hole used to be going to the Raiders. It was tough to play. The black hole is the black hole now because that's what the Raiders organization has been. People go to, like, your career goes to end there. That's where you know what? That's where you steal the last couple of years of money when you can't play anymore. Well, I'll just sign with the Raiders. Take some money for a while. Like, that's what it's been. And I'm not, you know, Raider fan, you can be mad at me, but that's just the reality of the situation. And that's one of the reasons they gave John Gruden a 10-year, $100 million contract, is you got to come in here and fix this. And while we're fixing it, there's still a draw because you're Chucky. We stripped it down to the studs. They told me. Flat out, we stripped it down to the studs. They got rid of Amari Cooper. They got rid of Khalil Mack, two of the best players in football. We got rid of them. Why? Because we got to strip it down to the studs. We got to change the culture. We got to get young players and get ready for our move to Vegas so we can be relevant at some point. That's what they're doing.
Chris Harris does not give out compliments that easily. Wait until you hear what he had to say about Vic Fangio. You'll hear it in Four Down Territory next.
I want Mason Glory Hole.
This is Four Down Territory.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
Pound it, launch it, and bring the funk.
Now, if you want to crown them, then crown their ass.
I want to kiss you.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah. You just don't flop it out there and expect to perform like that.
On Sports Radio 104.3, The Fan. First down.
Just with the run pass diagnosis, you know, they have a good run game that's married well to their play action game, and they do a good job of that. To me, that's the basis of their offense, and obviously our offense is somewhat similar to that, and it'll be good to go against them and see them operate it at a different level.
All right, so we're going to have mirror images out here offensively the next couple days. Broncos running Kyle Shanahan's offense. Does it help or sort of hinder the Broncos that they're going to be going up against an offense that they know so well? Would it be better off for them to see something different than that they've been, you know, practicing against all camp long?
No, I think it's a good thing. I think it's a good thing for several reasons, because I think some of the things this defense historically has struggled with, covering tight ends, covering backs out of the backfield. You look at the personnel that the 49ers are going to bring to this training camp facility here at UC Health Center, and this is an elite level group out of the backfield at the tight end position. And it's that work, I think, is invaluable to this Broncos team. That has been, like, if you want to talk about the one weakness that they have had as a defense over the last however many years, even in their championship run, was covering backs and tight ends. That's been kind of one of the toughest things for them. So you're going to get an elite level test these next couple days here at training camp.
And the Raiders run something similar, right, to what the 49ers run?
100%. Absolutely.
So you're getting good work against
that.
You're getting
good work for that Monday night game. So I think this is a very valuable 2 days of practice.
Okay, now I'm curious. What percentage of NFL offenses are running something similar to this?
Well, Kansas City does.
Okay.
Kansas City does. So that's, you know, that's something that's very familiar. The Chargers are a little bit different. Their run game, they've got a great run game, but they're more of a toss and pitch outside downhill. But they run some similar. Everybody runs the same concepts, Mike. I mean, you can sit here and say it's the air raid offense, and you're running a lot of similar concepts. So, you know, the concept stuff is all the same. To me, it's about the matchups and about the players they have that you're going to get the best work out of.
Yeah, running backs, tight ends, for sure. Next in four down territory.
Second down.
Oh, no, he got some ways to go to get with Kittle. Kittle's an all-pro, man, so he's still kind of – he's still playing football and thinking at the same time. So until that goes away, that's when you can really truly see what type of player he is.
All right, so we're trusting that Chris Harris and the rest of the Bronco defensive players will not dissolve into a puddle of water at the mere sight of George Kittle after what Kittle did to him last year. But how about the comments made by Chris Harris saying that Vic Fangio is the best defensive coach he's ever played for?
That's big time. So that's
played for Wade.
Yeah, he played for Wade.
Won a Super Bowl with Wade.
Right.
Was in the no fly zone with Wade.
Yeah,
no fly zone. Not as cool as Legion of Zoom, but
no,
still.
Zoom. Wow.
Yeah. Well, I will tell you this. Wade. I mean, Wade is a great coordinator, great defensive coordinator. Wade. You know, there's. In Wade, most of their heyday, even here at the no fly zone, it was not. You ask any of those guys that played it was 90%. Hey man, we're just going to do what we do. You know, we rely on our players. I think when it comes to Vic Fangio, the attention to detail, the mixture of zone dogs and the mixture of zone coverage versus man coverage versus. Like the attention to detail on that in that and all the volume of stuff you're asking your players to do, I think that's different, and that's probably
Fangio a better defensive coordinator in your mind than Phillips.
Well, I think they're completely different.
Who would you rather have?
Well, tell me what players I have. If I don't have three elite corners, then I would take Fangio. You see what I mean? You know what I'm saying? I think they're both great. I just think they're kind of a different philosophical approach. And I will tell you this. Like, you talk to a lot of guys, and I've talked to guys in this league, and they said the brilliance of the AFC Championship game was Wade Phillips departed from Wade Phillips. So Wade Phillips waits until the AFC Championship game to start blitzing, to start playing some zone, to start doing some different things that really kept Tom Brady on his heels for about three quarters. Now, they came storming back in the fourth quarter, but he kept him on his heels. They hit him, and they confused, one of the guys that has the answers to the test. So, that was a brilliant defensive coaching job by Wade Phillips. But Wade is going to do what Wade does most of the time. And you look at the Rams, the way they're currently constructed. They're constructed that way. Marcus Peters on one side, Aqib Talib on the other side. They're fast. They're small. And they basically say, hey, man, are you faster and more athletic than us?
All right, listen, I'm all for getting on board the Vic Fangio Express here. But
Vic Fangio has done it for a long time and had great defenses.
Wade Phillips brought this town a Super Bowl. Let's not gloss over that.
And okay? I'm not, but I'm telling you.
Vic's got a ways to go. Vic's got a ways to go to approach the impact that Wade Phillips had here.
Here.
Okay, here.
Because what he did in Chicago was tremendous. What he did in Baltimore, tremendous. Championship caliber in Chicago.
When was the last time Vic Fangio's defense won a Super Bowl?
What he did in San Francisco, tremendous. Well, it's, again, complete teams win championships.
Broncos weren't a complete team when they won a championship.
Complete teams win championships.
Broncos weren't complete.
Complete teams win championships.
They weren't complete.
They were.
No, they weren't.
They were.
No, they weren't.
Did they have the best? Did they have one of the best quarterbacks of all time? He wasn't playing.
He was a shell of himself.
I understand that, but he still got them in the right stuff.
Are we going to come to blows over this?
Yes, we are. Yeah.
This will end quickly.
Yes, it will. But I will give you this. Yeah, the defense drugged them along, but historically. Let me just do that.
Okay.
Historically.
Fine.
Complete teams.
Fine.
Win championships. They went to a championship game with Colin Kaepernick as their quarterback and lost to Baltimore. With Vic Fangio orchestrating the defense. And they were one of the best defenses in football.
Next in four down territory.
Third down.
Derek Carr right behind him will take the direct snap. Bobbles it. Runs back. Throws end zone wide open. Touchdown, Smith.
Derek Carr coming out and saying he is much more comfortable with John Gruden in year two.
Right.
That they're speaking the same language now. And that he's very excited. There were
Spider 2Y banana.
There were rumblings last year that after 1 year that, or even before year one, that John Gruden might be looking for a different quarterback than Derek Carr. Do you believe that, you know Gruden?
Uh-huh.
You got a pretty good idea about what Derek Carr is all about. Do you think that this is a relationship that can flourish? Carr and Gruden. Maybe more personality-wise. We know Gruden, we know Carr's got the talent. But just personality-wise.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I've talked to Derek Carr about it. He really, like, Derek Carr is one of the nicest people on the planet, but he likes, they have a great relationship. You know, do you know that they bought houses next to, they're having houses built next to each other in Vegas? In a neighborhood in Vegas?
Carr and Gruden.
Carr and Gruden. Hmm. They're going to be next-door neighbors. Wake up, step out on the porch. It's 112 out.
Morning, neighbor.
Morning, neighbor. Iced coffee?
Iced coffee. Good to see you.
Here's a beautiful banana.
I'll tell you what, man. I love this iced coffee. It is good. Yeah, they're buying houses next to each other.
Derek, you might want to mow your lawn.
Right
starting
now.
To kind of, the weeds are starting to infringe
now
on
my
yard.
May, when they both walk on the porch, they may not be able to see each other. If both of them making that much money, they're probably 12,000 square foot houses. You know, they're a block away from their front door to my front door. But you know what I'm talking about.
Next in four down.
They're chummy.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. Next in four down territory.
Fourth down.
Wentz fakes. Wentz rolls. Wentz fires. Wentz completes it. Touchdown, Zekers. Quarter of the end zone.
All right, Eagles radio. So check this out. A NFL scout,
okay,
told Fox Sports that with Breeze and Brady wrapping things up here in the next couple of years, the two quarterbacks that he expects to dominate the NFL for the next 15 years are Patrick Mahomes
and Carson Wentz.
Well,
I'm sure that that scout has recognized the superior angular capture that both of those guys possess. Does that surprise you? Carson Wentz, I think Carson Wentz had played really well, and then he had, you know, the ACL a couple of years ago in that game against the Rams, and then last year he had the fractured back that had derailed his career to some degree, but there's no question about his talent and leadership. For that matter. So, I could see that. What about not, but they didn't put in Baker Mayfield?
They didn't put in Mayfield. I mean, go through all the quarterbacks. Jared Goff, Deshaun Watson, the $40 million man himself, Dak Prescott.
What about Sam Darnold?
Sam Darnold.
Josh Rosen.
Josh Rosen. Colin Cowherd says that he believes the two quarterbacks that will dominate the NFL for the next decade will be Mahomes and Darnold.
I'm telling you what, just watching Darnold in the preseason, I think Darnold could be really good.
He went to USC. Come on. USC quarterbacks. Come on.
Pat Hayden went to the Super Bowl.
Okay. We're going to go back to Pat Hayden. You're going all the way back to Pat Hayden to make your case. Okay.
Palmer.
Carson Palmer. So?
He was good.
Big Wolf. Matt Leinart.
Sanchez.
Mark Sanchez.
Two AFC
championships. By the way, if my man D-Mac thinks that Tim Tebow goes down as a good NFL quarterback, Mark Sanchez then goes down as a great quarterback.
Great. He's all.
I mean, great. Seriously, because I mean, if you want to, you know, take Tebow's record and say that that's what a good quarterback looks like.
Sanchez
literally won about seven times more games than Tebow won, and won what, four playoff games? Tebow won one. So, Mark Sanchez, great. If you're looking at the sliding D-Max scale. Mark Sanchez must be a great quarterback.
Tremendous.
Tremendous. That'll do it for Four Down Territory. Our tour around the NFL, bring that to you each and every morning at 7:30.
And if you look at the games he lost, he won them for the other team throwing pick sixes.
There you
go. So he's actually undefeated.
All he does is win.
All he does is Whoa!
Oh!
I got papers blowing! Scott!
Troy
there was
Rank.
A sudden gust of wind.
Troy Rank joins us coming up next. Our Denver 7 insider, Troy Rank, joins us now as he gets ready to cover what's going to be going out here the next couple of days. Troy was talking about how, you know, the 49ers run similar stuff offensively. Does facing a mirror image of yourself, is that a good thing to progress what you're trying to put in here, or would it be better to see something a little different?
Well, I mean, ideally you'd see something a little different, but also the wrinkles in the Kyle Shanahan offense are probably a little more advanced at this point, given where he is in his head coaching career compared to where Scangarello is in his offensive coordinator tenure, and also the personnel is different. So, yeah, I mean, ideally you'd face someone that runs the exact offense that your first couple opponents do, but they will gain from this. Specifically for me, I want to see how the Broncos – how Vic Fangio schemes up guarding the tight ends and running backs in the passing game, what that looks like. I mean, we may not see all of it in these practices, but I'm curious to see how he addresses that, because Kyle Shanahan, both with Atlanta and San Francisco, just carved up Denver with his play calling on passes to the backs and tight ends.
Yeah, I think that's the most important thing, and I think we're going to find out a lot about personnel. How does our personnel on the defensive side match up to those guys? And in that linebacking corps, because Vic Fangio had guys in Danny Trevathan in Chicago, he had guys, you know, like Roquan Smith that could really do that. We're going to find out a lot about what this defense, you know, what we all think is elite, but what this defense, especially in that linebacking core and that nickel core, how they cover these guys. I think this is a great test, Troy.
Yeah, I mean, Todd Davis is still out. Josie Jewell is back, but that's an issue. When Jewell's not considered really a coverage guy, the guy that I'm curious if he could be an X factor in watching how camp and the games have progressed is Justin Hollins inside, the linebacker from Oregon. He's taller than I think any inside backer I've seen, but I wouldn't be surprised to see him becoming a factor because he runs so well and he's such a big, tall guy that could he be the answer to create issues for tight ends so they're not open right off the line of scrimmage. So, yeah, I mean, inside linebackers was a question anyway, and now in coverage we're kind of narrowing it down to something more specific. So I'm curious to see how this plays out.
Having these joint workouts culminating with a preseason game, does that encourage coaches to play their starters even less once the preseason game comes around because of the work that they've gotten in over the course of two practices?
It does with some. I mean, these are really case-by-case scenarios. I mean, I read on the league and see how teams are handling it. You know, McVay doesn't play starters, uses practice. Matt Nagy's gone to that model in Chicago, and he did it with Vic Fangio last year where starters played like 20 plays all of preseason, whereas Vic, he wants reps for certain guys. He believes that you're only going to get better through X amount of reps. But, you know, with San Francisco, you know, if Kittle doesn't practice these next couple days, does that mean they save him for the game, or does he practice once out of these 2 days and he doesn't play? You're just seeing so many injuries, even last night, that the risk-reward thing is real. I mean, you've got to get enough reps and try to simulate game conditions while trying to stay healthy. So I would think, in general, what you're saying is right, Mike, but what I've seen across the board, it's really case-by-case, coach-by-coach.
All right, let's flip it to the other side of the ball, because we've talked a lot about the Broncos' defense facing George Kittle and the running backs that they have and Tevin Coleman and Jerick McKinnon and that. So what about offensively for the Broncos facing this Niners defense? What do we need to see? What are the matchups you're looking toward?
Well, I mean, this is actually a decent offense for them to go against. The Niners don't get a pass rush. They've had issues up front and on the outside. They're not great in terms of, you know, ball hawking. So this is an offense, a defense where you would hope that you kind of get your legs and you get Emmanuel Sanders out there and see what that looks like in an 8-10 situational football for 8-10 plays with Emmanuel out there, with Lindsey, with Flacco. The full line will be playing aside from probably Ron Leary. Leary's told me he expects to play on Monday, but he's not expected to go today. But this is a defense they can attack. I mean, the Niners don't get pressure on the quarterback, And so let's see, you know, because if they do today, then there'd be a reason for some concern. You know, you want to see those tackles, especially James and Bowles. And, you know, from a matchup standpoint, this is a couple of practices where you'd hope they could win the day.
All right, Troy, we'll see you out here a little bit later. Thank you.
You got a tip.
All right, Troy Rank, brought to us by Tranny Law. Is it just me Friday? Give you a chance to get stuff off your chest, heading off into the weekend. And here's one on the RamosLaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. Is it just me, or it's great to hear Mark come around to Sam Darnold? Kid is going to be special. Okay,
I've never been anti-Sam Darnold. I've made fun of the NFL process when a guy, you know, throws in the rain and everybody slobbers over him, right? I mean, there's going to be some growing pains. I think Sam Darnold's going to be a damn good quarterback, and I think he's in a great situation with Adam Gase being his head coach / offensive coordinator. Adam Gase from an offensive standpoint, from calling plays, route combinations, who designed hots. Like Adam Gase is one of the few guys that designs all the hot routes, like on the front side of pressures. You know what I'm saying? Like, he really does a good job of making sure that you're like, oh, here comes the blitz, let me turn to the other side and throw it. Which is the case for a lot of offenses. Like, Adam Gase does a really good job with that. So I think that you're just going to continue to see Sam Darnold grow, but I've never been anti-Sam Darnold. I'm anti, you got to have a first-round quarterback, otherwise, you know, your franchise is going to, you know, fall into the abyss. I'm anti that.
By the way, I got to describe what's going on right here at Dove Valley.
Yeah, it is.
So this is weird. As soon as the 49er people started to come out and set up their equipment, this fog rolled in.
Right.
And the temperature, I would say, has dropped about a solid 10 to 15 degrees.
Easy.
Since we first got
here. Right. Easy.
And there is a cloud bank. Ooh, Tahuff has got like a little time-lapse thing going on right now.
Tahuff, how did you do that?
That's so cool.
Tahuff is like this.
He's like Copperfield-esque.
Yeah, technical wizardry.
It's on our Instagram, and I'll post it on our Twitter as well.
So this like giant cloud bank just like started to appear.
Yes.
And now it is just encompassed Dove Valley.
Right.
And it's like foggy.
I know.
It's like San Francisco.
It's like San Francisco rolled into town, and they rolled in with their fog.
They brought their fog with them.
Did they bring fog machines?
Did they bring fog with them? That is cool. John Lynch is a wizard.
It is, and it's cold. It's gotten cold.
It has gotten cold.
I'm glad I'm in jeans, and I brought my fan coat. I saw that you zipped up your little Arrowhead pullover.
I did.
Did you win that at the tournament?
I
sent you
did.
To?
Yes,
you did.
Yes, finished third.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I wore shorts this morning. And
you did.
I'm a little bit cold
the
right now.
The good news is that you have enough. You have enough thickness to your legs to absorb the. I don't. I'm built like a quarter horse. Giant upper torso area.
You're very like centaurus like.
Yes.
Or centaur. Centaur like.
Centarian.
Centarian, that's right.
And very quick, agile
yes.
legs, except they don't bend well.
I'm a little thicker.
You're built with a little more thickness.
Yes.
As the kids like to say, baby got back. Don't the kids say that?
Are they still saying that?
I think so.
Are they still saying that?
I think the kids still are saying
that.
Baby got back.
I see. Mm. Is it just me, or Mark needs to stop it with his analysis of the Broncos Super Bowl winning team? They were not a complete team. That offense was the worst offense to ever win a Super Bowl. Stinky, stop it.
What do I have to say? They had a great quarterback. They had a good running game. Did they not have a good running game? Did C.J. Anderson not? Did he rush for 1,000 yards that year?
They had a decent running game.
And they had a quarterback that was broken. I get it. But that quarterback, how many times did that quarterback keep them out of harm's way and put them in the right play? a bunch, especially during that, but after he came back from the injury. So I get that they weren't a complete team, but what I'm telling you is that you go through the history of the NFL. You know what, when it's not the last running back to lead the league in rushing yards and win a Super Bowl, do you know who it was?
Whoa. That's a great – I've heard that trivia question. I don't remember. Who was it?
It's Terrell Davis.
Okay.
1998. Hey, listen, if you probably go through, you know, number one defenses or top-ranked defenses probably have more of a chance to win a Super Bowl than number one offenses do.
Yes, that is proven.
All right. So, but I'm just telling you, 90-whatever percent of the time, if – like, you have to have a complete team to win – a world championship, or at least if you don't have a complete team, you got to have an offense or a quarterback or somebody that is extremely, like, you just got extremely hot in a playoff run. But complete teams are what win on a consistent basis.
But the Broncos were not a complete team that year.
I understand.
As somebody brought up, the Broncos offense had 8 consecutive 3-and-outs in the Super Bowl. That's a record for a Super Bowl winning team.
I understand that they were not a complete team. I get that. But they made up for it with the intelligence to some degree on the offensive side of Peyton Manning and not getting into harm's way. He did throw the one pick to the defensive lineman, right? But the bottom line is that's what wins consistently. You're right. That wasn't a complete team, but, you know, I couldn't just back down to you.
Look, I'm not trying to, you know, belittle or besmirch what that Super Bowl winning team did. I mean, it was an amazing season. I mean, remember, right, it wasn't me who started this partnership together fresh off predicting the Broncos to lose in the AFC Championship game.
Who was it?
That'd be you.
Oh, you hot snot. You're like a steel trap. You just, anything that makes me look bad and you look good, you do not forget.
I do not forget. Anytime I can find a way just to not knock you out of the circle, mm-hmm, but just kind of push you to the edge a little
bit. Right.
You know what I mean?